This is all about listening. I don't know if you're like me, but I sometimes wonder what it would have been like, you know, to have accompanied the crowds as they sort of merged together from the various towns and cities on, you know, all over Judea, particularly in Galilee, which is where Jesus' ministry began. But I often wonder what it would be like. I tried to picture myself sometimes in those crowds, you know, maybe accompanying someone else. Maybe I went along with the family. Maybe my father was interested to hear, and we just all went along with him. Who knows, you know, or maybe somebody else, a friend. And I thought, well, I'll go along as well, because who knows, maybe he'll say something interesting. And I just wonder what it would be like, because people came from all kinds of reasons. So, you know, a lot of people, because they'd heard about him, were taken by, you know, things that were said about him. Was this the Messiah? Was he indeed who people were saying he was? Was he a great prophet? Was he like John the Baptist? Was he greater than John the Baptist? Was he the one that John the Baptist talked about, would follow him? All these questions people had, and I often think of myself as being in that number, walking along and then sitting down, you know, when Jesus would reach a place where he would preach, and you'd sit down, maybe in little groups. Maybe we'd sit down in the group that we came with, or maybe alone if we came alone. Maybe join a group and just listen to what Jesus was saying. I often just picture myself being there, and how would I have reacted to the things he said? What would have been my impression of him? People coming from all over Galilee, from all over Judea, with all different kinds of ideas about Jesus, and for all different kinds of reasons, some out of curiosity only, but some wanting to know more about this individual who they perceive has been sent from God, at least, if not more than that, if not the Messiah himself. And oftentimes I recall how Jesus sometimes said some things which must have sounded very strange to the people sitting there. And I sometimes wonder how I would have reacted to some of the things that Jesus said. Some statements he made, you think to yourself, oh, what's that supposed to mean? For example, he would say something like this. He would say, when he had maybe told a parable or given some teaching, he'd say, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And I can imagine me sitting there thinking, there's nothing wrong with my ears. What's he talking about? We've all got ears, you know. Now, clearly he's referring to the fact that some people were listening to what he was saying and understanding something of what he was saying. In other words, they were being brought into the message that he was preaching. They probably didn't understand everything. In fact, I'm sure they didn't understand everything. But there was something in what he was saying that touched them and that they connected with. There was a connection. They understood it as God's word to them. And then I think to myself, well, what about all the other people? What were they listening to? What were they hearing? Well, they heard the same words. They heard the same parable. Or they heard the same teaching. But there seems to have been, from Jesus' statement, a difference in those who made a connection through the Holy Spirit's working in them, of course, and through their being receptive to the Holy Spirit's movement through, first of all, John the Baptist and then through Jesus. And those who didn't make a connection with the words that were being spoken and with the individual through whom those words were being spoken. So there was a difference. So everyone heard the same thing, I'd imagine. I mean, there may have been some people who were hard of hearing, I suppose, in the group. And there might have been some people who struggled because of the crowd to, you know, to hear from the back of the crowd. What did he say then? There may have been some of that going on. But generally speaking, I think everybody more or less heard what was being said. But some heard with a level of understanding, or at least a connection with what he was saying and with the individual Jesus himself, and some who heard what was being said but didn't connect, and maybe even wondered, is this even from God? You know, is this individual even God sent? Mark chapter 4 is one of those passages where we find that. Here in Mark chapter 4, and verse 9, first of all, Mark chapter 4, verse 9. Just to remind ourselves of one of those occasions where Jesus made some of these statements. He talks about the parable of the sower and the seed. And he says in verse 9, "And he said unto them, He that has ears to hear, let him hear. And then dropping down to verse 22, he says, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. In other words, that it should be made known. Verse 23, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Those whom the Holy Spirit is working with, those among that crowd who are receptive to the Holy Spirit's working, let them hear. Let them drink in the message. Let that message connect with them and let it sink deep down into their minds and souls and hearts and let it have a connection. That's what he appears to be saying. Clearly, there were some who had ears to hear. Now, that tells me that some people were moved by the Holy Spirit or had a connection with the words that were being spoken by Jesus, or had a connection with Jesus in terms of the apostles and those who were close to him. There was a connection. And there were obviously those, the multitude, I guess, who didn't have that connection, or who didn't have those spiritual ears, if you like, who weren't drinking in the message, who weren't receiving it as from God. Those people heard the words, but didn't connect. And I guess the question for us is, do we have ears to hear? We all have ears. That's obvious. You know, there's nobody here who doesn't have ears, and nobody has one missing or two missing. But do we have ears to hear in the sense that Jesus is talking about? When we hear God's word preached, or when we read God's word, or when we study God's word, do we have ears to hear? Well, we can't, unless the Holy Spirit, of course, gifts us with this spiritual hearing ability, with the ability to connect with the word of God, whether it's being preached or whether we're reading it, so that it actually sinks deep into our minds, into our souls, into our hearts. We need to have God's word in us. That's what Jesus is talking about. When he talks about those who have ears to hear, he's talking about the word of God as it comes to them, sinking in. It connects. It sinks down into our hearts. We have a connection with it. And we would have, if we have ears to hear, to use Jesus' expression, we would have almost an unquenchable desire to hear God's word spoken or to read God's word, but also to have it unfolded for us, to connect with it, so that we can understand what it is that God is saying to us through those words that are being spoken or written for us. A desire to hear God speak to us. Clearly, there were some people in the crowds that followed Jesus and listened to him preach who wanted to hear, had a desire to hear God speak to them from this man, Jesus of Nazareth. And formerly, if they had listened to John the Baptist, from the Baptist. A desire to hear God speak to them. That's why they came. That's why they sat down. That's why they listened. And they listened with those ears to hear because they wanted to hear God speak. God speak to them. This desire to hear God speak to them. To allow the word of Christ to sink down into their hearts and minds and souls. This New Testament witness that we have, this word of God that has come to us through Jesus of Nazareth and through his apostles, this is the word that we should have a desire to be open to us, to have a connection with. The New Testament witness, as we know, and we've said this many times, the New Testament witness opens up the Old Testament for us. You can't understand, and I know I've said this numerous times, and maybe you're tired of me saying it, but I think you all know, that you can't understand with any real degree of understanding the Old Testament scriptures unless you look at them and read them and perceive them and connect with them in the light of the New Testament revelation of Jesus of Nazareth. You can't understand them. Otherwise, you can understand certain things. You can understand some stories. You can understand things on a certain level. But you can't really understand what it is that God is saying in the Old Testament, what he's really saying from beginning to end in the Old Testament, unless you read those things through the lens of the New Testament witness. That's the floodlight that lights up the Old Testament and reveals Christ in the Old Testament. So we see how from beginning to end, the whole of the Old Testament revelation, the whole of the Old Testament canon is all about the preparation for Jesus Christ. It's all about him from beginning to end. Although it begins with the creation of the first man, Adam, it's always talking about and always looking forward to the second Adam. The last Adam, I should say. There is no second Adam. No third or fourth or fifth either. The last Adam. Always looking forward to the revelation of the last Adam. It's all about Jesus from beginning to end. The story about the nation of Israel, it's all typical of Jesus. All typifying his personhood, his coming as the God-man. All of these things are opened up to us when we read the Old Testament in the light of the New Testament revelation concerning Jesus. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Our desire, if we have, as Jesus would say, ears to hear, our desire will be for Scripture to be opened up to us, to see Christ in the Scriptures as he wants to be revealed in them, for the whole of Scripture to be opened up to us. And in fact, we can say more than that, to have the whole of Scripture, to have the words of Scripture in us, you know, sort of sinking deep down into our hearts and minds and soul. Here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, the Apostle Paul says this. He talks about speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, as we've just done in a sense, and will do in a greater sense when we start singing together again, and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. This connection with God, this desire to even speak to each other in spiritual songs, even to communicate with each other as we drink in God's word, as God's word sinks down within us and becomes part of us, that we really connect with it so that we not only understand the Scripture, but it lives within us. And as it lives within us, we communicate with each other in conversation, in fellowship, and even in our singing. We're singing to each other and we're, you know, sort of connecting with each other in that way, and in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, being filled with the Holy Spirit. It says that in verse 18. Notice that. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And being filled with the Holy Spirit, that's then how we communicate with each other in hymns and songs and spiritual melodies and music. And of course, fellowship in the same way. So it's all about Christ in us, dwelling richly in us, so that we're able to share Christ among ourselves. Look at the same thing in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, Paul says something very, very similar. In Ephesians, he's talked about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's sing to each other, communicate with each other in hymns and songs and spiritual melodies and in fellowship. Here in Colossians chapter 3, and in verse 16, he says something very similar. He says, let the word of Christ, because that's the word we want to hear, not just the word of Scripture per se, but understanding that it's Christ who's speaking throughout Scripture, and it's Christ who is in all of Scripture, so that let the word of Christ dwell on us, he says. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, he says, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So you can see how, you know, the point that Paul is making, that if we have ears to hear, we're constantly drinking in and connecting with the word of Christ that then dwells within us. And because it dwells within us through the Holy Spirit, we're able to share that word. We're able to share the joy that that word brings. We're able to share the confidence that that word gives to us. We're able to share these things. And in sharing these things, the church is edified and built up and strengthened, and we become unified. That's what the word of God is meant to do for us. That's why Bible study, of course, is so important. But it's not important on its own, not by itself. There has to be this connection with it, where we see Christ speaking to us, where we perceive Christ speaking to us from the scripture, and it has that effect. It should have that effect. It's not just cold Bible study where we just learn facts and memorize verses and memorize stories and things, but it's having that connection so that the word becomes part of us, sinks down within our hearts. It's very vitally important that we read scripture constantly, that we study scripture, but not just because, you know, so that we can quote verses of scripture and so on and recall stories and events. We need something more than that. Just look at what Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy. We need more than just knowing what the Bible says. We need more than that. 2 Timothy and chapter 3. And again in verse 16, verse we know very well, but one that we should read in this context. All scripture, Paul says to Timothy, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. God has breathed out, if you like. This is Paul's picture of how scripture should come to us. It's like God breathing out his word to us. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's breathed out. It's what the word means. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. So, it's, you know, we don't use scripture just to understand things, just to learn things, I should say, or just memorize things. It's so that we become better people, better Christians, so that we have a better Christian walk, so that we are able to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit and walk in the Spirit, again, to use one of Paul's other phrases, to walk in the Spirit, which means not walking in the flesh. To walk in the Spirit means not walking in the flesh. It means not walking according to our old way. It means putting off the old self, our old habits, our old ways of doing things, and doing things in a new way that is revealed to us through Jesus Christ. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's where it all should lead. That we start performing good works, that we do good things, that we're good for each other. That's the effect it should have. That we understand God's word, it sinks within us, we believe it, but not only believe it, it becomes part of us, and it flows out of us in songs and psalms and spiritual melodies and in conversation, so that we edify each other and we're good for each other. That's why Paul said to the Corinthians that when you come together, it's not for the good, it's for the bad. You come together, you people, and you're not good for each other. There are divisions. That's not good. But if they had ears to hear, they would listen to Paul, and they wouldn't have come together in this divisive way. They would have come together in unity to edify each other and to be good for each other. As it was, the rich were despising the poor. The poor, who seemed to be blessed with more spiritual gifts, were looking down on the rich as if they were less spiritual. And there were these divisions, and some were for Paul, and some were for Apollos, and some were for some other leaders, some were for Peter. And we had all these divisions. But Paul says that shouldn't happen when we come together. We should come together with the word of God dwelling within us, so that it overflows and we're good for each other. We edify each other. We produce good works. We're furnished, as he says here, unto all good works. And that should overflow to all our benefit. We should all benefit from that. Desire to listen to the words of Christ and to those that he's appointed. So listen to God's word being preached with that desire to hear God speak to us. That's how we should come. not with suspicion of, well, I'm not sure if I'm going to agree with this, but to listen, to come excited and wanting to hear God speak to us. And if we come with those ears to hear, those words will be unfolded for us. That understanding that is being brought will be unfolded for us. And we'll be edified as a result. That's how the early church grew, in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how the early church grew, through the preaching of the word. There were no Bibles in the early church. There were scrolls, but you had to go to a synagogue to find the scroll. You know, your average Christian didn't walk around with a load of scrolls under his arm, you know. And when the Gentiles came into the church in huge numbers, they didn't have any scrolls. They had to be taught what scrolls were and be shown where you find them. Well, you have to go to a synagogue. You have to ask someone to show you the scroll of Isaiah. And which part of the scroll do I need to see? Well, they'll explain where it is. But there wasn't much of an opportunity to find God's word written. It was there. And of course, the Jewish believers knew it. They knew it from of old. As Paul said to Timothy, from a child, you've known the scriptures. Jews were brought up on the word of God and the Old Testament revelation. So they knew all these things. And of course, they were read weekly in the synagogue and annually on festival times and so on. So they knew those things. But the early church, when it became largely composed of Gentiles, didn't have Bibles. They didn't have Bibles. What they had was the faithful preaching of the word of God by the apostles and those that the apostles appointed. So we had faithful preaching. So the Holy Spirit raised up in the church teachers and pastors and elders and prophets at that time. Don't have prophets today, but at that time, as part of the confirmation of the New Testament revelation unto Jesus Christ that he brought, there were prophets also, and there were miracles that we don't often see in the same volume today. But all those were there at the time as a confirmation that this is God's doing, that this isn't just a sort of a sect that's moved away from the true religion of Judaism. This is God's working, and it was confirmed by miracles. It was confirmed by prophetic words. It was confirmed by apostolic preaching. All of those things enabled the church to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus. But they had, the early church, that very deep desire, didn't they, to hear God speak to them through the apostles and through those that the apostles appointed. We read of the early church in Acts chapter 2. Let's look at that again, because we've read that a number of times recently, but let's read it again in this context. This is how the early church grew. Yes, they had God's word written, and it was referred to. And in fact, in the New Testament, the Old Testament is quoted continually. The third individual most often referred to in the New Testament is Abraham. But here in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, right at towards the end of the passage, it says, well, let's read from verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, this is Peter, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And when they had gladly received his word, notice that. These are people who had ears to hear when they were listening to Peter preach. They had ears to hear. That's why it says, and they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And here's the important verse in this context, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly, not in the synagogue, not in the Old Testament readings, but here it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, which had roots in the Old Testament, of course, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, that's the Lord's Supper, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. There's that confirmation again. The church needed the confirmation of the fact that this was God's doing. God has established the church. God has raised it up. And here's the proof, the miracles, the apostolic preaching, the prophetic word. These were the proofs that this was all of God. Now, when they went to Scripture, these individuals, they saw Christ in the Scriptures. The starting point is always, always, even if you come into the church from a Jewish background and you know the Old Testament Scriptures, the starting point is still the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the starting point of your understanding and your connecting properly with the Word of God coming to you. It's not the Old Testament revelation. The starting point of your connection with Christ and your connection with God speaking to you so that God's Word sinks into your heart and becomes part of you, that starts with the gospel. It starts with the revelation of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. The good news that salvation has come to us through faith in Jesus Christ and by grace. That's the gospel. And that's the starting point of our connection with the Word of God. And this is the very thing, this gospel truth, if you like, this gospel witness is the thing that floods the Old Testament with light. It illuminates the Old Testament. You can't go to the Old Testament and find anything of real meaning unless you read those accounts, those stories, those scriptures with the light of the knowledge of Jesus Christ shining on them. There's no other way you can understand. You can understand at a certain level. You can understand that there was a man called Moses. You can understand that Israel came out of Egypt. You understand all those things, those historical things. You can understand that it was God who did all those things. But you don't see Jesus Christ in all of that. Properly, with depth and conviction and light and and heart, unless you see those things in the light of what Jesus has done. That's how those things are illuminated for us by the gospel. It's what gives the Old Testament meaning. It's what tells us that what the Old Testament was actually all about, what it was all leading to. But the Jews missed that. The Jews who didn't listen to the gospel and believe it, they're the ones who just had ordinary ears and not ears to hear, and they didn't see that. So they continued believing that the great prophet was Moses and Jesus was nothing. Even though they heard Jesus speak, many of them. Heard the apostles speak, many of them. But didn't have ears to hear. Didn't have the word of God come to them and sink down into their hearts and didn't have that desire to hear God speak to them. How many people stood before Peter on the day of Pentecost? How many people stood there and didn't hear a word of what he said in terms of really understanding what he was talking about? How many stood there thinking, nonsense. This is nonsense. I don't want to listen to any more. These individuals are idiots. They're heretics. You know, I don't want to listen to all this. I don't believe all this. How many people stood there with that negative attitude? Well, they weren't part of the 3,000 who were baptized. They went away continuing in their Jewish faith, and their descendants probably still do today, many of them. Some may have come to faith in Christ. But it makes a huge difference having those ears to hear. It's what gives the gospel is what gives the Old Testament meaning. And when Gentiles came to faith, as I've said, you know, they didn't have the word of God written. They found it later. They were directed to it. No doubt they read scriptures at some point to confirm what was being spoken to them. And those things were told to them. The Old Testament scriptures were unfolded for them. The apostles often referred to the Old Testament scriptures. The Apostle Paul quotes Isaiah and other prophets continually in his preaching. And if they had opportunity, many of them would have studied those things. Remember the people in Berea who went and searched the scriptures. Well, they were Jews, of course, but they searched the scriptures to confirm the things that Paul was saying. They didn't search the scriptures to prove him wrong. They listened to him thinking, this is God speaking. I want to hear God speak. I want to hear what God has to say. And then to confirm that it was God speaking, they went and checked it out. They confirmed in the scriptures that those things that Paul was saying were so, that the Gentiles were being called to faith, that Jesus was indeed the Messiah, that the Jews need look no further for a Messiah, that he has come and he has established a church. And Paul is an apostle in that church, and his word is the word of God. They confirmed all of that when they checked it out in the Old Testament scriptures. All fulfilled by the Old Testament prophets, which they had already known about, and a lot of those prophecies they were aware of. They looked back on those things and saw that what Paul was saying. Yeah, that's right. That's what the prophets have said. That's right. That is what Malachi said. Yeah, that is what Isaiah said. Well, that's what he must have meant. Because now we see that that's what he must have meant, because we see it. And, that's what Amos meant. That's what Amos meant when he wrote about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's what he meant. We've witnessed it. We've seen it. Maybe some of them were a part of it. The church was raised up in Antioch, largely Gentile church, or at least it became a largely Gentile church. And again, because there are no Bibles, they needed somebody to help them to understand the God. They heard the gospel. They believed the gospel. But you can't just leave it like that. You have to add to that so that it gives the whole revelation of Jesus Christ substance. You have to add to it. You want to know more. You want to know more about how Jesus is the fulfillment of those Old Testament prophecies. You want to understand more. Otherwise, you'll lose the faith. Otherwise, you'll drift away and you'll be taken away by some other foolish teaching or some heretical teaching. So they sent Barnabas to Antioch to teach the people, to edify them, to bring them up in the faith, and to add to that initial knowledge concerning who Jesus was, to add to that an understanding of how he was the fulfillment of all the Old Testament scriptures, and particularly the Old Testament prophetic scriptures that spoke of him directly. And so Barnabas went there, but it was beginning to be a large church. It was a big job for one man, and so he went and fetched Paul and brought Paul along with him. And the two of them preached for a whole year in Antioch, teaching the people until it became an edified and convicted and committed church that was able, for the first time, as other churches hadn't done yet, sending out missionaries. They sent Paul and Barnabas out. They said, look, now we believe all these things. Other people need to hear this. This is so true and so deeply, richly fulfilling and sort of richly, convincing that we need to tell other people about these things. And so they sent Paul and Barnabas out as missionaries. That's how others were brought into faith. But they preached Christ for a whole year until the church was edified and built up and was deeply, deeply convicted concerning the New Testament revelation of Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. But they were taught, they were edified, they were convicted by the preaching of the word. By the preaching of the word. And they wouldn't have been convicted and they wouldn't have been edified by the preaching of the word if they came to hear the preaching of the word without ears to hear. They wouldn't have been edified. They wouldn't have been convicted. They'd have sat back questioning and wondering and skeptical of what's being said and nothing would have sank in. But they weren't like that. They came with readiness of mind to hear God speak to them through Paul and Barnabas. And they learned what they did learn because they had ears to hear. And that's why the Holy Spirit raised up in the church elders, pastors, teachers, apostles, so that the church could be instructed in the Christian life, so that we could be built up in the faith, so we can understand more and more about what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, what it means to put off the old self, what it means to put on the new man, who is Jesus Christ, what it means to walk in the Spirit, what it means to not walk in the flesh, what it means to walk in the flesh. All those things needed to be taught and understood, lest people drift in their Christian walk and until they eventually are just like they were before they were called, but just call themselves Christians, but act and behave in much the same way that they did before they came into the church, which happens a lot if people aren't taught the word. And if people don't listen to the word with ears to hear and drink it in so it becomes part of them, and then they understand what it means to live as Christ lived. They understand what it means to put off the old self. They don't want to live in the old way. They want to live in the new way. They want to walk in the Spirit and don't want to walk in the flesh anymore, because the walking in the Spirit is far more glorious, is far more satisfying, is far more peaceful, and is far more truthful. And is life, whereas the old self is death. So do we have ears to hear is the question we've asked ourselves. Well, hopefully that's the case. Hopefully we do have ears to hear. Hopefully we come to God's word and we come to the preaching of God's word with a desire to hear God speak, a desire to hear God speak to us and connect with the words that are being spoken so that those words take root in our lives. 1 Peter chapter 1. Our spiritual progress depends on our having ears to hear, approaching God's word and approaching the preaching of God's word in that way, with a desire to hear God speak, a real, deep, honest, sincere desire to hear God speak to us. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 23. We've been born again, we've been born anew, we have a new life. Now, if we don't believe you have a new life, then we need to learn some more, because we do have a new life. We have a new life in Christ. That's what being born again is all about. We have a new life that is in Christ. But notice what Peter says here. How were we born again? How did we get that new life in Christ? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. For all flesh is as grass. You know, our physical lives will pass away. We're not going to live forever. Sorry to disappoint anyone, but I learned that a long time ago myself. I'm not going to live forever. I know I'll die sometime. We all will. It's appointed unto all men once to die. All flesh is like the grass. The grass withers, and the flower thereof fails and falls away. That's what happens. People who cultivate plants and enjoy watching, you know, sort of watching plants grow, know that eventually plants do die, and you know they have to grow again, or you have to grow some more. These things don't last forever. But verse 25, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Well, what word is that? Well, he tells us, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. That's the word that endures forever. Look at chapter 2. We'll do just in closing, just a few more scriptures. Chapter 2 and verses 1 to 2. Peter continues here. He says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, in other words, coming with an honest, committed, guileless attitude to hear God's word speak, putting away all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking as newborn babes. That's how we should come to hear the word of God preached and to read the word of God. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. That you may grow thereby. That's the desire we should have. That's the majesty of the word of God, that it points us always to Jesus Christ. Points us always to him. Now we can become dull of hearing. Hebrews chapter 5 tells us that. Sorry for all the scriptures. I didn't realize there were so many one after the other, so I do apologize for that. I normally space things out a bit, but we'll just read two more scriptures, I think. We'll just read two more scriptures. This one here in Hebrews chapter 5. But the writer of Hebrews says here in verse 11 of chapter 5, he says, of whom we have many things to say. This is talking about Christ as our high priest. Yeah, let's read this from verse 9. And being made perfect, speaking of Christ, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey. Now I know why I put this scripture in. Sorry, my apologies. I have to remind myself what it was there for. Verse 10, called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, not because he is Melchizedek, because he isn't, but after the order of Melchizedek. And notice what it says there. It says, of whom we have many things to say. Now, that should be translated. I don't know what translations you're looking at, but the word doesn't mean whom. It can be translated whom, but it can also be translated that or what. And that's how it should be translated. You see, look at a modern translation. It's of which we have much to say. What's he talking about? He's talking about the high priesthood of Christ. And he's saying, of which we could say an awful lot, but you're dull of hearing. You can't understand it now. If I told you all about how Christ is our high priest and how and what his high priesthood means, you're not ready for that depth of understanding. That's what he's saying. He's not saying you need to know more about this man, Melchizedek, who foreshadowed Christ. That's a totally different subject. He's not saying dwell on that. That's speculation. He's not saying, you know, give yourself to speculation about who this man was that he was called Melchizedek, who the scripture talks about as being high priest and Christ takes up that high priesthood. He's not talking about that. He's not saying you need to know more about that. We don't need to know more about that. He's saying we need to know more about Christ's high priesthood. But you're not ready for that yet because you're dull. You've become dull of hearing. Well, I'm going to skip to the end because I don't want to go over time, but you know, Jesus said, let these sayings of his sink down into your ears. So we need to think about it. We need to think about what it means to have ears to hear. We need to think about what that means. We need to think about what Jesus meant by that. Why did he say that? What did he mean? What were those people like who didn't have ears to hear? Did they hear anything? Well, yes, they heard the same things. So what did it mean? How did some have ears to hear and others didn't? We need to think about it. And, you know, think about ourselves and how we come to the Word of God. We need to discuss these things with each other. Not just with people who believe the same way that you believe, or with people who have the same opinion. Discuss these things with other people. Get a rounded view of these things. Discuss them openly. Think about them. Meditate on them. Let them sink down into your heart. Let these words of Christ sink down into your heart so they become planted in you. And we look at a final scripture in closing, which is Colossians chapter 1. We want to get to a point where we love to hear God's word preached, where we love to hear God speak to us, and we want to drink in the understanding. We want to understand. And if we don't understand, we talk about it. We ask questions. We want to know more. Colossians chapter 1. And verse 27, just in closing, we'll say no more than Paul says here. We'll let Paul have the last word. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. To whom God would make known, I should read from verse 26 and 9. Even the mystery, let's read from verse 25, sorry. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me to you to fulfill the word of God. That's to fulfill the gospel. Even the mystery which has been hid from the ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. What's the mystery? To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, let's let that word sink in. So we become edified, we become committed as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, and we become desirous, really deeply desirous of hearing God speak to us through his written word and also through those that he's appointed to speak to us. Thanks.